dimming the lights of a theater, an organ prelude in church, a referee's whistle as teams line up. Now, these are all signals that something is about to happen, right? You've all been to a theater, either a movie theater or to a show, and the lights will start to go up and down, and you know it's time to find your seat. Or, of course, in church, we hear the organ prelude, and it means it's sort of time to get centered and quiet because we're going to begin our worship. Or, of course, the referee's whistle, you know, the teams are going to take to the field and get started. They're all signals, as I said. They draw our attention away from whatever we've been doing, and they focus it on the purpose for which we have shown up. Well, Jesus didn't use lights or music or whistles to draw attention to significant happenings. What he used, at least in this morning's gospel, were five simple words. For truly I tell you. If you ever hear those words, your ears better perk up a little bit. For truly I tell you, whenever Jesus says this, it's time to pay close attention. And we hear Jesus use this signal of five words today. He uses it when he says to his disciples who have come to him complaining about someone else who is doing things in Jesus' name but is not a part of their group. He says, for truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. This person was acting in the name of Christ. Maybe wasn't a part of the group. Maybe didn't fully understand what he was doing up to that point. But he was doing something in Jesus' name. So Jesus says, truly I tell you, pay attention to what I am saying. This is important for you to learn, he says. This all began, as I said, as we heard in the first part of today's gospel reading, that the disciples have become upset. They become upset when they observe this unknown, unnamed person who is helping people in the name of Jesus. Which shouldn't have been a problem, right? But since this person is not a direct follower of Jesus, is not a part of the in-group, well, the disciples, they want to deny the legitimacy of what this person is doing. They want to keep maybe a tight rein on things, protect the membership, okay? Perhaps they see themselves as the only true or real believers. And maybe we can see their side a little bit. After all, they're the ones who've left behind homes and jobs and even families when Jesus said, follow me. They're the ones who, well, they show up week after week. They're the ones who had gone out and told others about how Jesus had changed their lives. And so the disciples think that Jesus should step in this instance. He should step in and he should put an end to what this person is doing. Maybe exclude this person from performing what they saw as their ministry. Well, the disciples should have known better. They should have known better than to ask Jesus to exclude this person, or any person for that matter. Every time Jesus sees or hears of someone being excluded, well, you can count on Jesus to move the boundaries of acceptance back a little more, to broaden the reach of the kingdom of God. This person, Jesus says, is not working against us. This person is helping fellow human beings to be made well, to be restored to wholeness. This person is doing no harm and is acting out of compassion not unlike that which God shows towards you, Jesus is saying. Therefore, what's being done can only help us, Jesus says, to spread the word and witness to the reality of divine mercy. For I truly tell you, Jesus says, whoever assists you in bearing witness to me and the love of God will receive their reward. Now, this may be difficult to accept. Maybe difficult to accept if we're used to having clear boundaries and clear distinctions. I mean, it's easier if things are right or wrong, yes or no, in or out, right? We do this with ideas. We do this with people. You're either a true believer or you're not. You either do things our way or you don't have a place among us. At issue, of course, are not only the distinctions themselves, but our motives for wanting to make them. It's dangerous, perhaps even heretical, to think that God always lines up with us. Right? Or for that matter, for whatever we believe is what God believes. Obviously God believes that because I believe that. As the author Anne Lamott has written, you can safely assume that you've created God in your own image when you're convinced that God hates all the same people you do. God in Christ is less inclined to make distinctions between people. He talks to women in public. He touches the diseased skin of lepers. He holds up outsiders such as Samaritans as capable keepers of God's commandment to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. He included tax collectors, traitors in the eyes of their own people. He included them among his followers. He holds up penniless widows as models of generosity, blind men as beacons of insightful faith, and simple fishermen as worthy companions in the remaking of the world. And when a religious zealot, such as Saul of Tarsus, consents to the death and arrest of the followers of Jesus, it is Jesus who seeks not to destroy Saul, but to convert him. And if you know that Bible story, you know that it is Saul who becomes, who is known to us as St. Paul. The conversion of Paul the persecutor into Paul the missionary and evangelist is perhaps the greatest witness to the truth that God is never ready to give up on anyone. That God's love can embrace and find a place for anyone who has an open heart. Can we therefore do anything less? Can we ever seek to set boundaries for a God whose love knows no bounds? For it's only through God's mercy that we ourselves are accepted, that we ourselves are redeemed. That we find ourselves fed and supported by the prayers and fellowship we found in this humble corner of God's kingdom that we lovingly refer to as St. James Mill Creek. It starts with one person, and that person is Jesus, and it spreads as the invitation to come along is extended from one person to another. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you know I preached about inviting. First step. What we found here, why would we keep it to ourselves? Would we not want to tell others about it? Think about invitations. I wonder what would have happened if the disciples, rather than going back to Jesus and complaining about this man who is performing these acts and trying to tell Jesus to stop him, if the disciples instead had invited that person, invited that person that they were complaining about to come along instead. And what might have happened if the disciples had welcomed his concern and his enthusiasm for helping others? I preached about welcoming last week. What if they had welcomed him in? to introduce him more personally to this Jesus whose name he was tossing around. Sure, he was doing things differently than the way the disciples were doing them, but he might just have added something to the community of disciples that was missing, that would have added something important to their own ministries. And how could the disciples, how can we say that we are truly being the body of Christ if we do not seek to connect others into what Jesus was revealing to all those who believed in his name? That last piece of connecting people in, to invite them in, to be welcoming to what they bring and how they come in and who they are, and then begin to connect them in, not to reform them to just look like us, but to truly connect. To connect others to what it means to make a place for them in the worship and in the ministries of this parish. To connect as we listen to their stories, their concerns, their desire to become involved in some meaningful way. And maybe, just maybe, we might learn something from them, or be led to new ways of serving God through their ideas and gifts, or discover something deeper about ourselves as we broaden the scope of our relationships and our lives. To invite others in, to openly welcome those who are seeking something of God or something they cannot consciously express, and to connect our lives with theirs, all in the name of Christ. For truly I tell you, Jesus says, we best pay close attention to what is about to happen next. I've spoken these words to you this day in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.